It's Que Golazo time. We have Aaron West joining me today as we talk the transfer window, Arsenal, Europe all around, and what especially we can expect from the market. We talk about the United States men's national team as they begin January camp at the IMG Academy in Florida. We also talk about all predictions across leagues, including the Premier League, La Liga, Serie A, and the Champions League. This and so much more as Que Golazo begins right now. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Que Golazo. As promised, my brethren, mi hermano, Aaron West returns to the show. AW, what's up, man?
What is going on, man? Always a pleasure to be here. Happy 2021, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Happy 2021 to you, too. How are you? How's the family? How's the baby?
Good, man. Everything is good. Everyone's happy, healthy. Baby is happy and healthy. Wife is happy and healthy. I'm happy and healthy. I got a PS5. So everything's looking up for your boy right now.
Yeah. So this is why I asked how everybody was doing. Because I knew that Aaron was just going to tell me right now. We saw, if you follow him on social, he tweeted, obviously, you know, the Bubba is looking good. But most importantly, the PS5. How is it, man? Is it just ridiculous? Are you about to get divorced?
It's wonderful. My wife, I told her it was like arriving yesterday. This is like, she's amazing. She was like, do you want me to just like take the baby and go to my parents for like a day, like 24 hours? I was like, I don't know if it's a trick, but like, I would love for you to stick around. You don't have to leave.
Wait, what? That's amazing.
She's not super happy about it, but like she's accepted the fact that the PS5 is here to stay. It also helps that like, video gaming is a part of my job now. So it's not like, it's not just like a complete waste of my time. So I'm in like decent standing with the wife. I also like made sure I did everything I'm supposed to do and over above, like right when it arrived. So I'm like, just making sure I don't get like banned from playing PS5.
Or banned from the house.
But the PS5 itself is amazing. The loading times, the controller's great. The graphics, it's just beautiful. I'm having a great time already.
So FIFA must be crazy on that.
It looks insane. It actually looks really foolish. We're approaching the uncanny valley where things look so realistic that it like freaks you out. Where I feel like the next couple years, we're going to start to get that like really uncomfortable feeling when you play a video game. It's like, my skin is kind of crawling. I don't like how realistic this looks.
Right? Because I have the PS4 still, obviously. And when you play FIFA, like, obviously some players are like, oh my God, that is really good. Like, obviously I use Villa all the time. And Matt Target, to me, is like scarily exact. I feel like PS5, it'll just freak me out.
Oh, man. Like, I loaded it up and like, all the player models, when they do the zoom in, it's like, yo, this is weird. This is a little weird. I'm not going to lie. If this dude looks at me wrong, I might square up in real life. Like, what's up?
You might punch the TV or something.
Are you coming here? What's Yeah. I just got a new TV. I just broke my new TV.
I love it, man. Well, I'm happy for you and your PS5, he says hesitantly. But still, hopefully I'll get mine later this year. But that's awesome. Listen, Aaron, everybody, welcome Aaron West to the show. Obviously, we know from his work all over, including, of course, CBS Sports. He has some new hits that he does on YouTube where he gives his points of view and everything. The first one was obviously on his Arsenal. And I kind of want to begin there. AW, I want to talk about the Gunners. Last time me and you were talking on Que Golazo, it was a bad run. A little worried about Mikel Arteta and his team. But now things are looking good. Three wins on the trot. The transfer window is open. We know that they need to do business. First of all, before we get into the transfer window and the Gunners, how are you feeling about Arsenal, especially this recent run as of late?
A lot more optimistic than the last time we talked, I think I'd say. It's been good to, number one, see, like, I don't know if it was completely by his hand being forced, circumstances, whatever. He's playing the kids, and the kids are, like, showing that they deserve to be played. Emile Smith Rowe, like, I love him so much. I love him so much. His positivity, like, the way he drives with the ball at his feet, like, he's always working. Obviously, Bukayo Saka is incredible. The fact that we haven't seen, both through circumstances and selection, like David Luiz in a while, love that, absolutely love that. massive fan of that. It's just things are kind of looking up. Like things, the form has started to turn around a little bit. I wouldn't say I'm like super optimistic, but things look better. And we're in a really, like you said, we're in a really important period right now with the transfer window opening up and a little bit of chance to both trim some dead wood and get some quality into this side.
Absolutely. And part of the transfer strategy, as we know from James Bench and Fabrizio Romano here at CBS, is that Arsenal needs to sell before they can buy. They know that they have to make some pieces. Obviously, at the back, they're already talking about Kolasinac, you know, leaving, maybe some other players, including, of course, Mesut Ozil. Reports right now have like his agent basically stipulating that, you know, this should be resolved in a few days. I've been hearing, Aaron, maybe DC United could be a possibility. That's kind of insane. Imagine him and Edison Flores together. That'd be amazing. What are your thoughts about the Ozil move? I mean, you know, I think it's time for this relationship to end, right?
Yeah, I think Mesut was an incredibly loyal servant to the club. I think in some ways the club did him kind of dirty. I think that, but it's time. It's not good for him to just be sitting in the stands. Like, he's still a footballer. He's still got years left to play. Like, he needs to be on the pitch, like, showing us his magic. I would have loved to see that be at Arsenal, but it's the time has passed. Like, it's just not a good situation for either the club or the player at this point, and he needs to move on. I heard DC United, Fenerbahce, I think either of those are honestly good moves for him. For DC United, MLS is not as such of a league anymore. Like, he will still be tested. He will still actually get a decent run out. He'll get paid well. He'll get to build his brand in the U.S. DC is actually like an interesting city for him because I like low-key think it might be a lot of fun for him. DC is a dope city, but it's also pretty low-key, so he can probably chill a little bit, which is, I think, also we have to talk about that. It's what a lot of these guys, they want some of that anonymity. They want to like live a better life outside of the spotlight. But Fenerbahce is kind of like the opposite end of the spectrum. Fenerbahce is a high pressure environment for a player to come in, even though it's not a serious of a league as the Premier League. Fenerbahce, those fans take everything seriously. Turkish fans are so, so serious. Fenerbahce, he's obviously got Turkish roots. So I think he's in a good position personally. I think as a Mesut Ozil fan, I am happy that he's going to be able to move on and kind of move into the future. I think it's just time. It's been a rough situation being an Arsenal fan and a Mesut Ozil fan and watching them kind of be pitted against each other. But for him personally, I think this is a good time. It's time for him to move on. I think Arsenal fans are very grateful to Mesut Ozil. I don't think he'll leave with any, like, some may, but like in general, I think we have a very positive feeling about Ozil and his contributions. And then it's also good that those wages will be moved off the table. Like he gets paid a lot, a whole lot, and that can go somewhere else now. So I just think it's a good situation for both, for them to kind of part ways probably amicably.
Yeah. No.
He still clearly loves the club, but the hierarchy is just not in his favor.
Yeah, and you know, he has to think about, you know, what he wants in his final years as a player. And you make a good point. You know, it's, you know, DC United is actually one strategy for him and Fenerbahce is another one. It's like, it depends on, you know, obviously both, he's going to give it his all, but they're very different markets, especially in the way of life. So it'll be interesting to see what decision he makes. All right, let's talk about the fact that Arsenal will be making some deals. I mean, we're talking about also maybe Emiliano Buendia from Norwich, a very, very good player. I like that kind of strategy. Finally, it kind of fits in with everything that we're talking about. Young, talented, perhaps really good value, but I'm sure Norwich, who are top of the championship, are not going to just let him go for nothing. We'll see if that happens anyway. But, you know, those are the kinds of targets that I think Arsenal should be definitely looking at. What do you make of it?
I like specifically the Buendia target. I liked him in the Premier League. I think he's one of those players that probably should have stayed. It's smart of Norwich to be able to hold on to him for this long, but I think he's one of those players that when Norwich went down, he should have just stayed. Someone should have gone and taken that man because his numbers, just like on the pure eye test, like it's just like, why is he here? No disrespect to Norwich, but he shouldn't be in the championship. I think Arsenal should go ahead and make like a real bid and not disrespect Norwich by trying to lowball them because he is such a good player. He is so important to them. Like, you have to pay them fair value. that's kind of how I look at it. But he is exactly the type of player Arsenal should be targeting. Young, exciting, a lot of drive to like achieve something. And that's Arsenal needs younger, hungry players who haven't really won trophies, but want to get them and want to get them in an Arsenal. So I think that's exactly the type of signing they should be targeting. I think obviously Houssem Aouar was the like name that was at the top of everybody's list for through the summer, even before, but Lyon doesn't play around. Like if you don't pay what they ask for, they just won't sell. And I very much respect that as a club. And so it looks like if they're not going to pony up the like 50 million plus, whatever it is going to be for Aouar, move on. So I think Buendia is absolutely a fantastic option, continuing to trust Emil Smith Rowe, but like you have to trust him and play him, but also you have to have extra options. You have to have a fully fledged out squad because he's what, 20 years old. Like he's a kid. He's still a kid. Like as much as you want to trust the kids, you have to have other options because like he might have a bad day game. Like that's how it happens when you're 20 years old.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he doesn't turn 21 until July. Like, he's still a young kid, like, and he's not the only one.
I had no idea what I was doing when I was 20 years old.
Are you kidding? I don't have any idea what I'm doing now, like, let alone at 2020.
Facts.
Absolute facts. All right, let's go around quickly in the transfer window. Some interesting storylines, of course, not just the Premier League, but all over Europe. We actually talked, Aaron, last time about Christian Eriksen. An interesting situation there. Well, I don't know. The more I read, obviously we know his talents, but like I feel like nobody wants him. Maybe it's the wage weird, situation. Right? Maybe it's the wage situation, but it is very weird to me that, you know, it must be the contractual wage situation. What do you make of it? Because you said, you know, you'd welcome him to Arsenal. I don't think it would be a bad move for anybody in the Premier League with obviously realistic expectations.
Yeah, that one is weird to me. It's like, though, when I look at a situation like that and just no one seems to want a player, it's probably like a big part of it is he gets paid so much. He gets paid a lot and they're going to have to pay a transfer fee to take him off someone's hands. So it's just like a lot of money to sink into it. And everyone's like, all right, we don't have that. We don't have it. But the other side of it is like, what is going on with him personally? Like, clearly, the situation with Tottenham did not work out. There's all kinds of speculation you can make about what happened there. And it's now not working out with Conte, which I actually am not surprised with because Christian Eriksen is exactly the type of player that Conte either loves or hates. And it seems like he's fallen into the latter category for that one. So he's just completely frozen out. But it almost feels like one of those situations where he's going to end up in like a smaller league where they pay a lot of money. Because no one can afford him, and when you're at that when you're at that level of a player, you're not going to be like, yeah, I'll cut my wages in half to come play for your team. And so I think a lot of football up in that situation. They end up going to like a few players that like went to Man City early on, like made massive money, and then when it came time to move them on, everyone was like, trying to pay you that, bud. what are we gonna do? So I think Eriksen's kind of in that situation where he's either like gonna be forced to take a pay cut to get the move he wants, or he's gonna go somewhere he doesn't necessarily want to get paid the same.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about Eriksen too, like we're talking about him and some people forget he's 28. He's not like 31, 32.
I know.
He's 28 years old.
He's nuts. He's still in his prime.
He went to the World Cup at 26 years old. Absolutely. It's crazy. We did talk about maybe PSG just saying, all right, we'll bite the bullet and bring him. But, you know, Dele Alli is also a possibility. And now that Mauricio Pochettino is there, he has two former players of his to maybe bring in. What do you think about Dele Alli? He's definitely, he's leaving. It's just more about, you know, what Daniel Levy is going to do. With him. We saw that actually with Eriksen in the Amazon documentary where it's like, look, we know you want to go. We just have to make it the right way. And I think this is the same thing with Dele Alli.
That's exactly what's happening. Dele Alli's situation is really interesting to me because I'm not a fan of his as a player.
Of course.
So it's like, I'm trying to like balance my professional side and like my petty side. Like, you're not playing. Because I'm a terrible person. But his professionally, as I put on my professional hat, like his situation is really interesting because he is such a, like, he's like a weird tweener player. He's not like a pure attacking midfielder. He's not like the pure like box to box midfielder. He's definitely not like a defensive midfielder, but he's like a weird kind of tweener. And so you kind of have to, like, I don't want to say build your team around him, but he's got to be in like kind of an interesting tactical setup.
Yeah.
And he gets paid pretty decently, I think. And Spurs are going to want something for him. So I think, again, like the list of teams for him is not super long. Yeah. It's like PSG, what, like, I feel like Inter is one of those teams that like randomly might come in for him. But like, as for his career prospects, it's really weird right now. I don't know where I see him ending up. And that's like, a lot of times I'll have like a good idea where I think a player might end up. But for him, I'm like, yo,
yeah,
I don't know. Like, you could literally write, like, for the start of the coming season, you could write any club beside his name. And I'd be like, all right, well, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. And you know, with him, we're talking about Eriksen being 28. He's 24. Like, the time to move is now, because this is going to pretty much determine the rhythm and the narrative of your own journey. It's crazy. It's just crazy. Here's the other thing, something that you said, and I totally agree. He's such a specific type of positional player that being at Tottenham is actually the worst possible situation, because I think that he needs a team where their striker requires service as opposed to creating service himself. And Harry Kane is a striker that doesn't need service himself. He also creates it. Look what he does for Heung-min Son, etc. And so that takes away Dele Alli's like strength. Like, we don't need you anymore. Like, you know, we don't need that kind of service. So he needs to go somewhere where their striker is like, you know, okay, let's see what you can bring me as a false nine, which again, very lazily, I go back to PSG. I feel like that's another one that Pochettino could use. But it goes back to what we talked about. You know, how much are they willing to pay for either somebody that's been at the World Cup, 28 years old, knows the game, you know, very important player for Denmark, to a 24-year-old who really started brightly but now is really misguided. So it'd be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, and from PSG's perspective, like, I personally don't think Dele Alli is the right move. Like, he's not really better than any players they have there. I don't think he necessarily, it's not like he really brings a championship pedigree to that team, which is what they need to get them over the hump. They need someone who's won trophies or like is going to help them win trophies. Like, and is, I think Dele, and I like, I talk a lot of trash because I'm an Arsenal supporter, but I think Dele
Alli comes with your blood, man.
I can't help it. Yeah, I have to. Like, I do want to say, though, I think Dele Alli is a quality player, but specifically for, like, a PSG who are trying to win Champions League, he's not the player they need. Maybe, like, a Lyon. Like, Dele Alli would be fantastic for a team who's, like, challenging for a title, going to make Champions League and make to, like, the quarters and challenge in that kind of realm, I think. But I don't think he's a world-class player. I think he's a very good player.
He just needs to play right now at this moment. And by the way, like the PSG thing, everybody, PSG is also, Pochettino is figuring out what to do with Verratti. He's trying to see if he moves him as a 10 and pushes him up. So, and if that happens, like, there's no need for Dele Alli, you know what I mean? So it'll be interesting to see where he comes from. So, all right. When we come back, we will talk about the United States men's national team and a big year in 2021 as Aaron West joins us and talks about it as well. Stay right here.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's TAILORBRANDS taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome back, everybody, to Que Golazo. Aaron West joining me, and we're switching gears a little bit, leaving Europe for a second and talking about the United States men's national team. 2021, Aaron, is gigantic for the U.S. Men's squad. Greg Berhalter, not just him, but also Jason Kreis and the under-23s, of course, with the Olympics. January 9th is when camp begins in Florida, the IMG Academy. And there's two setups, right? There's the senior setup, 12 players with Greg Berhalter that has your Josie Altidore's, Zimmerman, et cetera. And then you have like 24 players, including Brian Reynolds, the much talked about Brian Reynolds, for Jason Kreis's under-23s as part of the Olympic hopeful setup. So a lot is happening, right? And a lot will continue to happen in 2021. AW, what do you think, first of all, of this camp, of what we can expect, and looking ahead? I know that you actually have something in the works already coming out about this specific thing. Very hopeful for USA and this year.
Yeah, it's weird to be sitting here in 2021 and like, when you mention the U.S. men's national team, like a smile breaks out over my face. And like, I like feel like mildly optimistic. It's just the weirdest thing ever. I'm like, I'm not like immediately pissed off when you mention the men's national team. I only get those feelings when you mention the women's national team. Right. Like, oh, happiness, sunshine, right, trophies, success. But no, like it's a really interesting place that we're like optimistic about the men's national team, because we have so many like quality young players coming through. The 23 roster, the U23 roster, it looks very good. The main roster with a lot of like US based players is like, it's really interesting because like there's still a lot of quality players in that, and it doesn't include one European based player. I like the fact that we are finally starting to get a little bit of depth. I am putting out a video, kind of an Aaron Reacts, about 2020 and 2021 moving forward, just about the optimism that we have with this US men's national team. We had a record 10 U.S. men's national team players play in Champions League, or at least be registered to Champions League squads last year. A number of players playing for massive clubs. So it's like a really cool place. I'm interested. I don't really have any, I'm going to be honest, like I don't have any expectations for January camp. I just kind of want to see what we get. I think the Olympics are going to be really, really important. I think specifically the call-up of, I think the call up of Josie Altidore to the main squad is big, because I just love Josie as a person. I think his leadership, his experience is so important for both of those teams.
Yeah.
I think that as we continue to move forward, like him in the team as a leader is just really important. Him being in and around the players, like because of what he represents for a lot of these players, like his guidance has been really important for a lot of these guys, I think. And he scored a lot of goals. We cannot fake on that. He scored a lot of goals too. So, yeah, I'm really weirdly optimistic is the best way to put it.
No, but I think that's the perfect way to be, because it's like, you know, like you said, like record numbers of Americans in the Champions League, experience coming back, players like Josie Altidore, Zimmerman, of course. And then you have like this plethora of like MLS based talent that can push for the under-23s on the Olympics. It's like everything's clicking in the right direction. The only thing, and because I'm not American, so I can do this, the only thing that I just say, as I play the devil's advocate, and I'm wondering your thoughts, is that let's remember that the king of CONCACAF is Mexico still. So that's the ultimate thing to try and figure out. Like, obviously getting to the World Cup, doing well in the Nations League, Gold Cup, etc. But like, how close can that margin go between Mexico and the U.S. because as well as this squad is growing, what Mexico has is a clear identity with Tata Martino right now, even without the injured Raul Jimenez, of course. So it's going to be really interesting to see how much that gap closes between the U.S. and Mexico. So I was really keen on thinking what you think about that specific issue. No, it's not like an urgency, right, to make sure that, you know, we're going to dominate Mexico, but it's very important to make sure that that margin stays as close as possible.
No, I love it. I honestly, like, we're finally, I have always loved the U.S.-Mexico rivalry because I've always had a lot of Mexican friends. I've always hated the Mexican national team and loved Mexicans. So it's like, it's the best possible thing. We always talk a lot of trash with my friends. So it's like the fact that the rivalry is going to kind of come back to the fore and actually be legit again, I think it's kind of, it, even if the U.S. has gotten results in the last year or so, which a couple years, like any result, which we haven't gotten, but anything that happens, it's kind of like, you missed the World Cup, but we don't care. You weren't even there. You weren't exactly outside back then. You weren't outside. So now that the U.S. is starting to come back to the fore, there's actual quality in the team. I think the rivalry will start to be like real again. We've got on both sides really quality, both young players and like players coming into their prime. Obviously you mentioned, the Wolves player, Raul Jimenez, they've got Diego Lainez. They've got so many good young players in Mexico that, like, I enjoy watching. But on the other side of it, it's like, I also, as an American, I feel, like, confident, weirdly, moving forward that, like, we will have something for Mexico. We'll have something for CONCACAF. We'll have something for the future. And, like, I don't think it's going to stop. I think in certain ways, we've gotten the pipeline figured out. We've gotten development figured out in a lot of ways. There's so much more to do with identifying talent and not letting them slip through the cracks kind of at a younger age and in the teens. But they're starting to figure it out for real. Like, the academy system is legitimate. The systems that are in place are legitimate. We see players like Brendan Aaronson and Mark McKenzie coming through the union, like coming through at a young age, like all the way through. Brendan Aaronson's going to RB Salzburg at RB Salzburg, knock on wood, Mark McKenzie is going to Genk. Like, that is the kind of pipeline that we're producing in this country and will, I think, and I don't think it's stopping. So that's the really exciting thing for me is, like, and I'll be honest, I don't know. I didn't know if Berhalter was the man. I still don't know if Berhalter is the man, but at least he kind of seems like he has a clear idea of what he wants to do. And that's important to me. Like, even if maybe your direction isn't quite, like, if we want you here and you're going here, at least you're going in a direction and it's like kind of in the right way and you have an idea of what you want to do. I very much appreciate managers who I can see what they're trying to do. Like, even if I don't always agree with it, if I can see what you're trying to do and I can see you're working every day to implement processes that work towards that, I will give you a chance. And I see that with Berhalter.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I've interviewed Greg Berhalter a few times. I know that you have too. He's a good man. He's a good person. And the thing that I like about him is that he's pragmatic, right? It's some managers are like, my way or the highway. And it's very good to have an identity. But sometimes they say my way or the highway with not realizing that the car that you have doesn't fit this highway, right? Whereas now Berhalter has that. Like, I feel like because they're young, they're talented, and they're all over the place from a positional standpoint, he has now something that he can build on. The key will be how that continues. The other thing, by the way, is that, you know, Jesse Marsh doing so many good things at RB Salzburg. I want to see, if I was an American fan, I want to see more American coaches in Europe as well, or at least not even head managers, just like, you know, just completely multiply themselves all over Europe, because I think that will be a big part of it too.
I agree with you 100%. I think that's the kind of the next step in the evolution of American soccer is not just like players being exported, is minds. The recognition and the respect of like, oh, this guy, yeah, we have one-offs that we can put into our team, but like, no, this American can lead our club. That's a big next step. And I think Jesse Marsh is a fantastic like flag bearer for that because he's such an intelligent manager. We always saw it when he was in the States. He's such a good man manager. He clearly like takes his job so seriously. Like, he's already speaking German. He was already speaking German to those guys like a year or so into the job. That's the kind of export that we want and we need. And I want to see more of it. Like, I think I so much agree with you. Like, that's the next step, is continue to export, not just talent on the pitch, but in boardroom, in managerial places, all over the place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. To wrap everything up, it's been so good to have Aaron West once again on Que Golazo. All right. Let me ask you, Aaron, this real quick, because we haven't even touched on it. All right. Just quickly. Okay. Just quickly. Who's winning Serie A?
I think it'll be Inter, honestly.
I think Inter will win. He just gives me that answer.
I actually think it'll be Inter, as much as I hate them. Like, there's something about, like, the kind of the way that they're racking up results in the league. Conte has always been, like, very, very focused on the league at whatever club he's been at. He doesn't really jive with Europe. He doesn't really do well there because I think of how, like, pragmatic or how, like, stubborn he is about his tactics and the way he wants to play. He is, like, his teams are designed to just run the league. He's got Romelu Lukaku, who refuses to stop scoring goals. He's got that defense working. I think it will be Inter to pip it, but I obviously, as a Juventus supporter, but even bigger, like, I really want Weston McKennie to get himself a chip. So I hope they don't, but I like the way things are going. Just to be realistic, I think it'll be Inter.
Wow. La Liga, who's winning La Liga?
Oh, man. I think Atleti, actually. I think Atleti might go ahead and pull it out. I think they've got a really, really clear identity. They finally, Diego Simeone's finally gotten Joao Felix to work. And I think, like, the key piece of it has been Marcos Llorente. Like,
absolutely.
He's just, like, a weird player to me. He's like, is he a midfielder? Is he a striker? Like, he's such a, like, I think, like, a quintessentially Atleti player. Like, he just plays everywhere, and he pops up with goals. He pops up on the defensive side. Like, he's literally everywhere, and he's, like, crazy athletic. He never stops running. He's just, like, it's, like, Atleti, Marcos Llorente. Like, he's the kind of player they just, like, randomly pop up with every few years, like a Koke or a Saul. Like, he's just that kind of guy, and I think Atleti have it.
Interesting. All right, let's finish off with the Premier League, Aaron. Who's winning the Premier League?
Premier League, I think it's going to be City. It's based on two things. The incredibly terrible injury luck Liverpool have had this year, which has been, like, my God. Like, every time they start to sort it out and they slot another player into, like, a position that he doesn't play in, somebody else gets hurt. It's like, damn, yeah, bro. Like, I know most of us, like, don't want to see Liverpool keep winning, but, like, we don't want it like this, do we?
Been bad.
But, I think City, and the other side of that for Liverpool is, like, I don't like the excuses that Klopp is making right now. It's like, and I like Klopp, but, like, the excuses he's making right now are, like, loser excuses almost. It's like, we're, like, the things are against us. We're not going to win this. Like, I don't want to see that from, like, a manager like Klopp. I want to see, like, oh, yeah, this thing went against us. Maybe I don't agree with the decision, but we're Liverpool. We always fight. We're going to always do what we do. I really, like, it kind of bothered me to see the United have won more penalties in two, or Ole's won more penalties in 2.5 years than I have in my entire time. It's like, come on, man. Like, you don't have to do that. Like, you're literally the title holders. You don't have to do that. And I'm probably going to get some flack for that. But I just don't like seeing that from a manager that I like a lot, and who just, I don't think he should make excuses. Like, you can make excuses of, you can point to your injury record.
Yeah.
That's been awful. But I think, for some reason, there's a feeling just around the team that they're making excuses to not win, even though they have the excuses to not win. It's not like they don't. I just don't like to see them make them. I want to see a team, like, bat in the hatches and say, hey, everything, we're keeping it in here. Everyone's against us, but it doesn't matter. Like, we're going to internalize that and just go fight. But I think City, actually, they've gotten a little bit more depth. They figured it out in the back. That was the biggest issue. Ruben Dias has been a fantastic signing for them. John Stones has looked like a new man. He's pushed Aymeric Laporte out, and they have depth. So I think it's going to be them. I think they should probably sign an attacker, because I think this kind of rotating cast of like false nine strikers they've used when Sergio Aguero is always injured, or Gabriel Jesus is injured or out of form. Like, I think they needed another pure striker to kind of really push them to the next level. But I would say City.
Yeah. No, no, you're not the only one. We have a few people that maybe think that. I didn't ask you Bundesliga, Bayern Munich, right?
Yeah, why did we ask?
Exactly.
What's the point?
Exactly.
They're not going to stop being a stupid juggernaut. Like, Lewandowski's not going to stop scoring 70 goals a season. Joshua Kimmich is not going to stop being a tiny German machine. Like, what are we going to do?
It's happening. All right, final one. Champions League. Who's winning that one? It's a good one. A lot of good teams. And I think that much like last season, you know, it's kind of, it's not totally difficult, right? Bayern Munich remains a favorite, of course. You know, Man City may be going for the first one. Real Madrid is always a threat. You know, who do you think at the end of the day will win it all?
Honestly, like, I could see a Bayern repeat. Like, they're not really being troubled that much in the league. They're able to kind of rotate players. They have a lot of players scoring a lot of goals. Thomas Müller is Thomas Müller again. So I honestly could see Bayern repeating it.
Yeah. And they have Lazio next, and, you know, they should be able to take care of business against them. Aaron West, AW. And by the way, before we started taping, we were talking in Spanish. I am very impressed with how well his Spanish is going, by the way. Muy bien, compadre. Me encanta todo lo que estás haciendo. Really, so happy to have you. Always welcome here. Make sure that you follow him all over social, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch as well. I'm sure he'll go off. Take care of the baby, then PS5, or other way around?
Take care of the baby first. Always take care of the baby first, and then you can do whatever you want after that. That's how it works.
I'm going to write that one down. Aaron, thank you so much for being part of KG once again, brother.
Mil gracias, un placer, amigo.
I want to thank Aaron West for joining me today. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Que Golazo Pod. Listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Please leave a rating and review. It really helps us to grow the show. Please have a great rest of your week, and please keep following us and supporting us. We'll see you next time.